Hello and welcome to the Care for the Family podcast with me, Mark Chester, Stephen Hayes.
Hi, Mark.
And Christian Sanner.
Hi, Mark.
Christian is our special guest today, and this is the Dad Cave, where we discuss fatherhood in its varying forms and unpack some of the things that just often don't get talked about. So, Christian, welcome to the Dad Cave. It's really good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wow. So, my name is Christian. I'm a HR professional and a musician-ish, praise and worship leader. But yes, so I do that.
Where are you from, Christian?
I'm from London. So, Southeast London. I'm from a place called Croydon. I'm sure people would know Croydon.
Okay, so I got to ask quickly, HR, I have to do a little bit of it in my role. What led you down that road, that paperwork filled road?
Wow. I guess I wanted to work with people. I mean, I guess you work with people with all the functions in an organization. But I think I wanted a department where I was able to interact more with people rather than just kind of be concentrating on processes and things. So that's one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
And what do you play?
So I play guitar, a little bit of drums.
Ah, we should have asked you to bring your guitar into the Dad Cave. You could have played a little for us.
Segments of the podcast don't yet have a jingle, so perhaps after this we can put something together.
Jingles, yeah. That'd be great. The two of you could do it together because you're musical as well, aren't you, Stephen?
Borderline.
You're being modest. Anyway, let's get into the dad jokes because we're going to tell a few dad jokes as we always do when we start off these podcasts. So shall I kick it off?
Yes, please.
I'll kick us off. Okay. So how do you get a one-armed monkey out of a tree?
I don't know. How do you get a one-armed monkey out of a tree?
I'm glad you repeated that back to me. That's an essential part of any good joke.
Yeah.
You wave at it. Boom, boom.
I was going to say tickle it, because that's equally effective.
Yeah, tickle. Yeah, no, tickling it would do the trick. Yeah. But to be honest, it was a joke. This wasn't kind of a genuine discussion about how you get a one-armed monkey out of a tree.
I actually genuinely forgot it was a joke then.
Yeah. I'm sure you did.
I was thinking of King. My head went to King Louis in
The Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book.
Yes.
And I thought he's holding up the.
I want to be like you.
He's holding up the remnants of the kingdom, and I think Baloo does tickle him.
Yeah.
So that's where I went.
That's true. Wow, you've got a quick mind.
Bit of vulnerability there.
Come on, Stephen, tell us your joke.
Okay, can a kangaroo jump higher than the Empire State Building?
We don't know. Can a kangaroo jump higher than the Empire State Building?
Of course, buildings can't jump.
Very good. Excellent. Yeah. Right,
save us, Christian.
Come on,
wow.
Christian.
Wow, that joke. Let me see if I can remember. Why do fathers take extra pairs of socks when they go golfing?
Why do fathers take extra pairs of socks when they go golfing?
I don't know.
Because they might get a hole in one.
Wow.
Fantastic. I love that because it's about dads and it's about golf.
And socks.
And, well, yeah. I was going to say it's about two of my passions, being a father and a golfer, but socks aren't really a passion.
It's a reminder to me that I've probably got way too many pairs of socks with holes in them. So I either need to take up darning socks or I get new socks.
Right, I see. So that joke has just added an extra item on your to-do list. Fascinating.
I think the three of us should go... socks shopping after this.
I think we should get a psychologist in here next time just to analyse what's going on in that brain of yours, to be honest. But anyway, let's move on
different
to the
episode,
topic.
Mark. Different episode.
It is. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Christian's experience of growing up separated from his dad. So, Christian, just tell us a little bit about what happened to lead your dad to not being involved in your life.
Sure. So my mother and my father separated when I was quite young. And of course... Due to that separation, I guess, you know, I wasn't able to, I mean, I would see my dad from time to time, but I wasn't able to sort of live with him and actually be around him as much as I can.
And so you were, at the time, where were you living, Christian?
So we were living abroad. We were living in Africa.
So you're in Africa. And so did your dad remain in the same country? Did you have any contact with him then?
So he remained in the same country. I had some contact with him, but not, like I would say, like a you know, quite regular contact with him. So I would see him in some periods and I don't know, maybe space of 3 months of what I can remember. So
when you were that young, how did your mum explain to you the nature of where your dad was and how that, like, or did you grow up having like questions, or did you just accept it as the norm?
I guess I accepted it as the norm. And maybe when you're young, you don't kind of think deep about these things. You always wonder why things are the way they are. But I guess, you know, when you're young, it's like, you know, you kind of accept it. Okay, my dad is not there. I mean, he sometimes comes, sometimes he doesn't. And so you kind of just accept it as when you're young. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just interested in, so you at some point you lost contact with your dad.
Yeah.
Why was that? What led to that? So you were young, your parents split up, mm-hmm. you still had some contact with your dad, but at some point that stopped. Why was that?
So we moved from where we were living to the UK. And of course, the gap that had been there, I would say, you know, that non-regular communication or contact kind of widened because of course of the distance. And from then, I think, you know, went years and, you know, just no contact.
Yeah. Yeah. So how old were you when you moved across to the UK, Christian?
I was 10 when,
right,
I came to
the UK. I feel like when you're growing up, most families have, there might be dynamics within the home or nuances. I think it's often, like thinking of my childhood, I think it's often when you start to get to that point where you're developing proper peer relationships and you see what other people's families look like, where you start to think, like this isn't what my life looks like. Did you have any sense of that when you start to build those friendships and you're like, okay, I realize my home life is not necessarily ordinarily?
And I think that's where the trigger, those were the trigger for me. When I came to the UK, and of course, growing up in church, you know, a lot of my friends had their mom and dad together, and that began to make me to question, you know, I began to question, okay, but yeah, I thought that was normal, that reference was normal, but it doesn't seem like this is the norm in a different culture. And so I began to ask myself questions. And I think that sort of is what began to really ask me to, you know, trying to find answers, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of questions are you asking yourself? You know, how does it affect you at that stage?
Well, I think at that age, you kind of just wonder why is my mom and dad together? You know, why did they not stay together? Mm. You know, I wonder, you know, if my dad was here, would I feel the way I'm feeling? And you know, the questions that you have, and maybe like things that you want to do with a man, you know, maybe go football and I don't know, just teach you how to be a man. I think for me, I think I missed those, you know, that the presence of a male figure at home.
Yeah. So how did it affect you, would you say, Christian, growing up without that contact with your father?
Sure.
Were there any particular difficult times? Were there any ways in which it affected you more than others?
Mm-hmm. I think it did. I think specifically, I would say specifically school time, during school, I think when it came to making decisions in terms of knowing what to do and trying to, you know, decide, you know, what career do I want to have? And, you know, you talk to your mom, but then I think you want to talk to a male figure. I think there's something about man, as you call boys and their dad, there's a connection that you build with a man that you will never build with a woman. Of course, you know, my mother be my mother. But I guess, you know, in the period of school, beginning to make, you know, decisions in terms of what subject am I going to pick? What do I actually want to do? You know, trying to just find a reference and a role model where you could, you know, that can help you, I guess, navigate that, you know, those seasons. So I think for me, I mean, those became the season of, I would say, of frustrations for me. And then, of course, at school, you know, just kind of beginning to maybe get involved with the wrong group, I would say, because, of course, I mean, you're trying to find yourself and things like that. So yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Depending on your natural disposition, you might feel just sad or low, or you might just be accepting. Some might feel, start as you get older, start to feel anger about the way it was. Like, did the did your emotional response to it change as you were getting older, or did it kind of?
I think so. I think I would say, you know, I began to, I mean, the frustration began to grow in my, I mean, maybe in my teens, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I began to feel resentment for my dad, even though I didn't really know the reason why, you know, they were not together. So I began to feel resentment for my dad. And I think, you know, the separation, the distance kind of just, I would say, magnified that where, well, he wasn't there for me. I think I'm doing okay without him. And so I think that became the norm for me, I would say. So, yeah.
Did you ever sort of construct in your mind an almost imaginary idea of what your father was like? You know, as you did you think about him, imagine what he would be like? Did you build him up into a certain character or anything like that?
I think I did to a sense. I think, you know what, I came to a point where I kind of thought like he didn't care.
Right.
That's that for me. I really thought like, you know, well, no, he just doesn't care. So he didn't care for me. Why do I need to really care also for him? And because I think it took years for us to be able to kind of reconnect again. I mean, of course, not being in the same country, of course, telephone really not also, you know, there was no communication, I would say. And so they say, you know what, they say, being apart sometimes tends to cause the heart to grow fonder. But I think in my case, it was more so the opposite. The longer that I was disconnected from my dad, the longer I was like, I don't really need him.
Yeah.
Right.
And I guess you're proving that because you were getting by day to day.
Exactly.
I think so often, like, this is almost like you could class it as an emotional stone in the shoe where you're kind of, it's always there somewhere, and there might be times where you don't feel it as much, but there's other times where you're like, I'm so aware there's a stone in my shoe.
Yeah.
It's that kind of emotional thing. And I'm just wondering, like, as you were growing up, were there things where you'd hear a song or see a film with a certain narrative that would play into what you were walking through?
Well, I mean, it depends. I think it came in different ways. I think sometimes you will almost a bit like kind of taking a bit from the answer you asked, but I built like some sort of image of my father in those years. I would say sometimes, you know, a person may come up on TV and it almost kind of reminds you and triggers your face. That person looks a bit like my dad. I think he does look like my dad. And so I'll ask my mom, is that, I mean, I kind of had an image of what my dad looked like. But of course, you know, since you haven't seen him, you haven't been in contact, you kind of lose a bit of, I mean, it's a picture that you have on in your mind. And so you ask, does he kind of look like a bit like my dad? And and so I think for me, it was kind of maybe like, I don't know, you know, TV. I can't give you the exact moment or the exact triggers, but there were moments you would be watching TV or maybe like your, I don't know, just the life, and maybe you're asking yourself a question. Like, I wonder, like, you know, what would, you know, how would my dad or react or, you know, what would he say and things like that.
Yeah. And there were, and you've touched on this a bit already, there were other sort of role models, father figures in your life. I've heard you talk in the past about a teacher.
Sure.
So who was that?
Oh, wow. It was my music teacher.
Yeah.
My music teacher. And I think one of the reasons why I felt like he was a role, I mean, it wasn't like something he agreed, oh, I'm going to be a role model, no. But I guess it's just how he fought for me at school. I think when I began to kind of misbehave a little bit at school, there was one person who always believed in me, as in literally, you know, he would pull me aside and he would give me the, he said, you're better than this. You know, he spoke to the better side of me. And I think for me, that really kind of always kind of brought me back to really think, oh, wow, you know, like he really does care. And my teacher, Mr. Shawcross, I haven't kept in contact with him, but he was my form teacher and really always really kind of supported me, I guess, every step of the way while growing up, I think. Well, I was at school anyway, so.
So he was a real father figure to you.
I mean, he probably wouldn't say, oh, I was a father, but I think, you know, for me, he was a role model that I really say, you know what, had a major impact in me. I think this is, and I think maybe this kind of also brings the subject of, you know, I think a lot of kids, you know, they just want that person to believe in them. And especially kids that come from you know, maybe single parent homes. Mm. And it's not that you don't get love at home, because for me, to be honest with you, I got ample of love. My mom really showed me that she, you know, I was loved. I mean, I got everything that I needed. I mean, I wasn't struggling, you know, and won new trainers, won, you know, the new consoles, and you won new, I mean, I received everything that I wanted. But there was always a part that I feel like was missing. And I think that was that father, you know, and those that sort of stepped in, kind of help a little bit to manage that part. But I wouldn't say totally fill.
That's a real inspiration to us, isn't it? To try and be the best father figure we can be to any children that are in our lives. And even, and it strikes me that he was probably in your life for a relatively short period, but the impact you can have in a short period can last a lifetime. Yeah. So it's really inspiring. Stephen, I'm just wondering whether now's a really good time to go into the most nerve-wracking section of the podcast for our guests.
I was wondering the same thing.
Quick-fire questions.
Yeah. Okay, so... this is a segment. We have this. We do this to everyone.
Sure.
It's okay. You're safe.
Torture.
But some quick fire questions. Answer as quickly as you can. If you can't answer it, just say pass or some variation of that. Okay. Christian.
Yes.
All right. Please tell us your favorite tube stop.
Russell Square.
Your favorite sport that doesn't include a ball.
Just trying to think one. That sounds like you can pass, Christian.
I pass.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bit of a sneaky one. Favorite snack?
Favorite snack? Oh, I love coconut bites.
Mm-hmm. Like nice. Dried coconut.
Yes.
Yeah. Dried coconut. Okay. Your favorite bird?
You consider eagle a bird? I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Eagle. I love the eagle.
Your favorite bird that can't fly? So we're talking penguin, emu, ostrich.
I don't like those parts.
Okay. Coming into land. Favorite Beyonce song?
Oh, Say My Name? Is that a Beyonce? I think, no, that's actually
Destiny's Child.
That's Destiny's Child.
Still counts, though. I can take that. We'll accept that.
Say My Name.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I'm not a sci-fi person, so okay. I wouldn't be
pass
able to
on either
pass
of those.
Yes.
Normal caramel or salted caramel?
Ooh, I was a normal caramel.
Okay.
Yeah, that brings normal caramel, definitely.
That brings up. You can always add salt to normal caramel. Yeah. You can't take the salt out of salted caramel.
Do you know that one about kind of your favorite sport without a ball? You think that'd be easy, wouldn't you? But of course, immediately you say that, your last word's ball, all you think about is all the sports with a ball. So your mind's just racing.
Formula One, wrestling, badminton.
Swimming. Running.
But I went the same way. I can only think of ball-related sports.
Yeah, now. just anyway, fantastic. It's a
On your way home, I'm sure you'll think, oh yeah.
I mean, I could have, hey.
Well, you coped with it very well, Christian.
You did very well.
Just going back to your father, and you referred to this, that you did actually reconcile to your dad, didn't you?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how that came about.
So the reconciliation part of it. I mean, it had been years since we had been apart. And I think maybe I might have been in my early 20s or maybe just late 90s. I can't remember, but around there somewhere. And a member of my family had traveled to the country of my origin, and they actually saw my dad. Mm. It was actually my mother's sister, and they got in. So they you know, kind of got in. Not I'm not saying got in touch, but I think, you know, there was some sort of circumstance that kind of allowed them to sort of meet. And she returned back to the UK, and she said, you know, we saw your dad. And he would really love to hear from you.
Blimey.
And here is his number. I was like, you should call him. I'm like, I don't know about that.
What happened?
Why?
What happened in your stomach when you got given that piece of paper?
Well, to be honest with you, it was almost like, why do I need to call him? I mean, you know, he was never there. You know, why do I need to make contact? As I said, you know, I had built this sort of image of my dad who was just, he really didn't care.
And so, did you almost feel like he should have been the one making contact as well?
In a way, I guess, yeah. I mean, right. He's my dad. He's an adult.
Yeah.
I'm a child. You take care of your child.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess in that respect, I was like, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say like I felt like any sort of physical reaction, but I would just say, you know what? It was almost like I don't care. Like almost like I'm not gonna get in touch with him.
Yeah.
And so what? So, but you did get in touch with him.
I did.
So why? What changed?
What was the turning point?
So to be honest with you, I think I guess something in my heart. You know, I said, you know what? You will always remember, for me anyway. You always remember your parents, whether they were present or not. Mm. You know, they. You are a byproduct of who they are. I guess something in my heart began to change. And I guess maybe in my Christian faith, something in my heart began to shift. You really should get in touch with your dad. Mm. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe I should, but someday. And I guess, you know, that kind of process took maybe, I don't know, a couple of months. And so I guess, you know, one day, you know what, I took the courage to maybe call.
Incredible courage. Like that's incredible, a huge moment.
To call him like, yeah, and let me hear what this man has to say for himself.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so, so basically I called and, I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, there was a reconciliation from the first conversation.
Tell us about making that phone call though, because I think that's kind of like, that's a huge moment. Like, can you remember like where you were and what you were thinking as you picked up the phone?
I was at home. I was like, you know, when I told my mom, I said, yeah, I mean, let me call. I think one thing I have to say, you know, and this is, of course, you know, huge, you know, respect to my mom. She never at any time in that period ever spoken sort of negatively about my dad. Never told me, don't ever call him. I mean, it was never the case. Mm. So I guess everything that I built and the negative emotion and the negative reaction that I had, I would say it was internal. It was me rather than, you know, being influenced by my mother. So my mother really, you know, I mean, she, I guess, you know, being a strong Christian, she never, you know, allowed me to sort of talk negatively about my dad and things. So, but I would say I thought I was going to call. So I called and that first conversation, if I can remember right, I think, you know, it was almost like, you know, just, yeah, yo, you know, yeah, hi.
Surface level.
Surface level conversation.
How are things?
How are things? Oh, yes. You okay? Yes.
How have the last 18 years been?
It was almost like that. Were you listening to the conversation?
No, I promise.
So it was one of those where it was really surface level. And I would say, you know what, there was no emotional connection.
Yeah.
There was no emotional connection. But
I guess you have to start somewhere, though, don't you? And that small talk almost can be the start, can't
it?
But it led on to you actually going to see your dad, didn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I think that process of talking, and do I remember him calling? I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But I guess, I don't know, that sort of first step led on to further conversation. You know, I mean, there were gaps in terms of how often we spoke, but there came a point, and I would say this happened, I mean, years and years and years and years. It was in, I can't remember, maybe 2016 or 2015. I can't remember, something like that. I knew exactly where I was standing, and I had this really a really strong conviction. You need to go see your dad. Like, I mean, it's almost like you just know that this is something that you ought to do. Almost, I would say it was emotional in a sense. You need to go see your dad. And you know, sometimes, you know, for the years you resist and I think at that moment, and I stopped where I was because I was by myself, you know, and I knew exactly where I was standing. It was near the dining table.
And how long after that first call was this moment where you felt that?
Years. Okay. I mean, I'm talking about years.
Okay.
More than I will probably say 10 okay. years. Yeah. So, but I felt that just a strong conviction. You need to go see your dad. I think at that point I had a choice. do I really, because that would have been taking a lot of courage. And I left country when I was young, and now I was an adult, and you know, what am I going to expect when I see him? What are we going to talk about? How will his other children, because my dad had other children, respond to me? All sorts of things went through my mind. But one thing I was sure and I knew is like, you know what, I needed to go see my dad. Mm. And so it took maybe a couple, I would say, you know what, nearly maybe 11 months that actually took the courage to take the action and book a ticket.
And did any of those feelings from that first call where you felt that almost sense of he's the parent, he should call me, did any of those residual, like, he's my dad, he should be the one coming to see me, did any of that stuff come back, or was it a stronger
feeling? It was a stronger feeling than that. I think my Christian faith really helped me. There was a process in my heart where my heart began to soften out, because I actually do want to see him. I actually do want to see how he's doing and meet him and maybe just kind of talk and really know how is he doing. I think you get to a point where your heart begins to soften.
And you're a man in your own right by that point.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it's like, you know, no, it felt like the right thing to do. You know, that resistance, and this is the thing about it, I would say, and this is what I probably want to, you know, add in there, is that forgiveness and restoration is a process. It's not a one-time thing that happens, or, you know. And sometimes it may start off as being really reluctant, but if you allow it to take its course, I think you can get to a point where you feel differently than when you kind of first was sort of challenged, or I would say, you know, were confronted with the reality of your life.
So how was it seeing your father when you went back to Africa and you met your father again? How was that?
How was that? Wow. I think, to be honest with you, I was a bit scared. I was scared. First of all, I think, you know, there was all sorts of things that was going through my mind. You know, I had some family members that still lived where my dad lived. And so... I don't know. It was a bit of it took a lot of courage, I would say. But I think something that I needed to have done that. And so meeting my dad, I think, you know, he didn't know that I was gonna come. So I took the plane ticket. Actually, one of my really good friends came with me. He said as soon as he heard that I was going to make the trip to go see my dad, he said, you know what, I think I want to come with you. And he's one of my closest
just to be friend. Emotional support.
I guess so.
Good friend.
Really good friend. A good friend. I mean, he's a brother, you know, brother. And so my dad didn't know that I was coming. And, but I actually got in touch with one of his daughters, and I told him, you know, I forgot to say that at that point, my dad's health began to deteriorate. And so, you know, you will hear news, oh, he's not doing too good, he's not doing too well. I think that also played in terms of how I began to feel.
It's like a time limit on it in some ways.
Yeah, and I think, you know, your conscience and just your yourself as a person is like, you know what, I would really hate for something to happen. And
you miss that.
I missed the opportunity to reconnect. And so I got in touch with one of his daughters, and she also didn't know that I was coming. But I was just saying, you know, I kind of said, you know what, hey, you know, give us your number, can maybe send me your address, where do you guys live? Of course, at that point, his health began to deteriorate, so he needed support. And so I arrived in specifically, I'm from, where my dad is from Angola, and my mom is from Congo, and so, but he lived in Congo. So I went, and the first time that I met him, the first encounter after so long, the first thing I remember him saying, he says, all things are possible. I really believed that I would never see you again. I really believed that I was going to die and never see you again. So to be honest with you, I think he actually wanted to see me. And I realized that it wasn't that he didn't care. I guess maybe just life and the fact that we would, you know, the distance and I mean, of course, just other complications made it that we didn't build that relationship. But at point, to be honest with you, you know, he looked. I mean, he was sitting when I walked into, you know, I think it was like a living room, and he literally just kind of like, you know what, dropped his head, and it was a bit emotional. And at that point, I found the courage. I was like, you know what, let me approach him. So I approached him, and I gave him a big hug, say hi, wow. Dad, and he was
Was that shame? Was that, what do you think? What emotion was your dad feeling, do you think, that caused his head to go down?
I don't know. I don't know whether it was shame, but I don't think it was shame. I think he considered it a miracle that I will take, you know, I mean, I had a man with beard and you know, he hadn't seen me since I was quite.
But you were probably older seeing him then than he was when you last saw him.
Yes.
Which is pretty surreal.
So when he saw me, he was like, and of course, when you see my dad, we look.
Really?
Like, wow. they are very strong features.
Yeah.
And so when he saw me, he knew, you know, like, he's like, man, like, but it was an emotional experience. I think it was just, I think for me personally, how I've reacted to that, I was like, you know, I was glad that I did it. Mm. You know, it did something to me. It reconciled something inside of me.
Yeah. And did you continue to have a relationship with him then?
I did.
And how was that? How did that work out?
To be honest with you, I think, you know what, one thing that I really can say, and I'm going to put the name of God, has been amazing. I'm a firm believer in the divine. And I would say the way that we began to speak and began to kind of connect, he would call me, I would call him. And of course, at that point, his health, you know, wasn't doing well. And of course, he would get better. He would deteriorate. And so in my heart, I really began just, I feel, you know, I need to support financially. And so I took responsibility to kind of make sure that he had what he needed, you know, in his moment of struggle and the health situation that he was going through.
That's amazing. So you've gone from growing up with your dad actually not being the one providing what he should have been in those formative years. So for you to get to the point where you're then reconnecting with him and then you're actually providing and looking after him, that's pretty radical.
It's a radical thing, I would say. But to be honest with you, and I did it with joy. I did it with absolute joy, you know. Yeah, I think for me, like, as you see, I mean, and to be honest with you, I really came to find out he was a wise man. You know, I learned a lot. I think in the last years of his life, that really enabled me to put some things in perspective. Of course, no man is perfect. I guess who is perfect? But I came to really love my dad. I can genuinely say that I came to love my dad. And sometimes I would, you know, he would send me voice messages. Hey, good morning, Christian. How are you? I mean, of course, he spoke French. But those were really, I think, you know, even to today, I have those, voice notes in my phone.
Wow.
Just hearing his voice, I think, you know. You know, did something to me. So yes.
So you mentioned off air that he passed away within the last 6 months of us recording this. So where were things in those final months and weeks?
Wow. I would call him. I think it was so. I mean, I wouldn't say bedridden, but he was kind of like mostly he stayed in a bedroom, I would say. But we had communication. And I would call him, just find out how he was doing. And he would ask me and questions and ask the dad questions that, you know, we'll talk about relationships, we'll talk about everything and anything. And I would ask questions, maybe just kind of knowing a little bit about his background and, you know, and things. And I came to find out a lot. And one thing I would say, I reconciled a lot of things about myself having connected with my dad. Because I understood some of the reasons I did what I did, because I was so much, I was like my, I mean, in a lot of things, I mean, I'm very picky. I'm very tidy. And my dad is literally, everything has to be in a certain way. I mean, how do you call those people?
immaculate, like,
yeah, I mean,
anal.
Literally, I mean, you know what, everything has to be, and I came to really understand some of my mannerism and the way that I did things is my dad totally. And so for me, I'm like, you know what, man, maybe I'm not so weird after all.
And then so, I suppose like some of what I've gleaned from when you were growing up, it seems like one of the major questions was like, why? Mm. Why was he not there?
Yeah.
Did you ever get to ask that, or did it stop being important?
Oh, that's a very good question. To be honest with you, I don't think there was a conversation where I asked, why were you not there? I think, of course, just in terms of his health and different things that were happening, I think we
stopped being necessary, I suppose.
Yeah, there were some things that took on more importance, I think. And I think I matured in a sense. And so I guess, you know what, there were things that were more important than others. And you can't redeem the past. You know, the past was painful. And that's in any way, I can't minimize that. I would have really hoped that my dad was there for the entirety of my life and, you know, all the major changes and the different, you know, my different stages of becoming a man. I can't change that. But one thing I can change is how I responded to him, I think, in the final, sort of, I would say, stages of his life. And for me, you know, I'm really at peace to really think that, you know what, I'm glad I connected with him. As a matter of fact, I'm glad I connected with him at the time that I did. Because if I didn't take that trip, of course, considering COVID and everything else, and that would have, I'm not sure whether I would have been able to make that trip, to be honest with you. If I had delayed it maybe another year, I'm not sure whether that trip was going to actually happen. But yeah.
Yeah. There's a real sense there, I think, that comes across to me of you not allowing the past to dictate the future, of you making a decision somewhere, right? A line's drawn and the future is the future, and that's what I'm going to build towards, really. And I'm just thinking, as we move further into the future, really, from this whole experience of yours, you know, what is it that you would like to sort of pass on to the next generation, Christian? And you know, it could be an object, it could be a value, it could be a belief, it could be a passion. And we know you've talked about your faith, so I know that you would be wanting to pass on your faith to the next generation. Are there other things that you'd like to leave based on the experience that you've had?
The most powerful force in the universe is love. You could have money, you could be successful, you could have everything in the world. If you don't feel loved, there will always be something in your life that's lacking. And so what I would like to pass to the next generation is that love is the principle of life, I would say. It's the strongest force, and it has the power. Being a man of faith, I will throw this in there. Love is stronger than death. Love is powerful. And of course, what I mean by love, that includes forgiveness and everything else that comes along with it. But I would say love is the most powerful force in the earth. And I think, you know, in the world that we live in today, I think that is probably one of the most, the thing that is lacking, love. You know, we need love.
Can I ask one final question, Mark?
Yeah.
There might be people listening or watching this, Christian, that have never, for those who still have the opportunity to reconcile in some way, and it might be siblings who've fallen out, children and parents, and it's probably far more common in families than we'd realize. Mm-hmm. What would you say to those people who still have time to do that? Like, how do you encourage those people to make that step?
One thing I would definitely like to say, you can't negate the fact that you're hurt, and, you know, maybe circumstances that, you know, you encountered in life those pain are real. The pain is as real as the need, whether to reconcile or to love. So my first advice would be, don't deny the hurt that you feel. Don't deny it. It's there. But how we respond to it is different. We should not allow the pain and the hurt to dictate our lives and dictate our decision. I think we should become masters of our experiences rather than allowing our experiences to become masters of us. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say, you know what? Restoration is a process and it's a journey, which basically means that it might start with small decision and small steps made towards an ultimate goal. So I would say, take it step by step, but with a view to reconcile or with a view to make amend where possible, because of course there are situations where that is not possible, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's just sometimes that's life.
Yeah.
But as much as it depends on people and as much as it depends on the person, reconciliation and trying to make some sort of, I mean, if you can't determine the other person's response, at least come to the place in your own self where you are, you've done what you can to ensure that that relationship is as good as it can be, I would say.
Wow.
Man alive.
That's powerful stuff, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, and I'm conscious as well that there are some people who will never have had that chance to be reconciled, really. You know, they may have had that will, they may have had that, you know, come to that conclusion later on. They've never had that chance to be reconciled. But I guess what you're really saying is about, you know, working within themselves to find some peace, isn't it? Perhaps forgiving after, yes, you know, somebody's gone.
Absolutely.
You can still find that sense of reconciliation and peace within you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And that's why I say love is the most powerful thing. I think you have to not only love that you extend to other people, but also love that you extend to yourself. Because you cannot, in the process of trying to get a restoration in a relationship or reconcile a pain, a childhood pain, I think you have to give yourself as much love to yourself as you give to others and maybe even, you know, maybe the people that cause those pain. So I would say, give yourself love, you know, really allow yourself to feel what you feel, but just don't allow those things to master you. Rather, you be the master of those experiences rather than the experience being a master of you.
You know, I think love's a good place to finish on, because that comes through loud and clear in your story, how much love you showed to your father. And what strikes me is your humility, your courage, and just that strong sense of forgiveness, the power that's there. So, Christian, thank you so much for coming into the Dad Cave to tell your story.
Amazing.
It's been brilliant, hasn't
it? Amazing. So good.
Thank you, Christian.
I'm so glad that I did it, and I really appreciate you bringing me along today. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And so that was the Dad Cave. Thanks for listening and watching, and we hope you can join us next time.